Hello, everybody. Welcome to Killing Time. This is the show that searches for entertainment that does not suck. I am the man known as Aya Zaktar, probably because that's what they put on my birth certificate. Did you know that? It's true. That's what they did. With me, as always, is the guy who's with me, as always, JB. What up?
That's right. Not much. Aya Zaktar.
I had my mind blown earlier in an exclusive clip you may see or you would never need to see. Rob showed me how to properly use the water bottle I've had for a year now. And I am a dumbass. So that's great. That's a great way to set up my credibility. I'm not an expert at water bottles, but I do like watching things that are entertaining. Have you seen anything new lately? Or read anything new?
I have been catching up on the most current season of the animated show Star Wars Rebels. And it's been surprisingly excellent.
Okay. You know my feelings on Star Wars. Tell me about Star Wars Rebels. Like, what's the plot of this thing?
We're taking place in between the prequels and the New Hope. Mm-hmm. Most of the Jedi are killed off, and we got the rebellion just starting to form. It hasn't really gelled together yet. So we're way before anything like a New Hope or Death Star and everything. It's just the last few Jedi and some rebellious pilots and people just starting to get together and start the rebellion, hence Rebels. The main characters aren't anybody you've met before. We have a young kid Jedi and then his teacher Jedi, pretty much are the main two characters. The biggest thing is they do work in some of the other characters in the world that are still alive, like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader and Yoda and things like that, but they're not the central focus. They're periphery characters just to set it into the world. And the cool part about this show is it is canon. It does apply to all the movies they're making now.
So the lead character, is it Ezra?
Ezra Bridger. Right, Ezra Bridger, yep.
Okay, I think I've seen some of this at times. Yep. It's got a good animation style.
It does. It does. Good voice actors. And it just, I don't know, it's some of the better Star Wars stories, in my opinion, actually better than the newer movies have been, and even the original movies. It's just well written, and, it's only 20 minutes per episode, so a quick view, but, still really good. I'm impressed by it. Very impressed.
Do you have any idea what we're looking at here? It looks like this Ezra character goes through some kind of portal.
Yeah.
There's a portal?
This was the most recent episode. Some huge, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but a huge, reveal about the Jedi Temple.
So we were looking at the Jedi Temple, that thing spinning around for a while, because I'm like, what am I seeing there?
Yeah, he's in they call it the World Between Worlds or something like that.
Well, I will say it does not make for exciting video without audio. I assume it's a lot more interesting based on what we're seeing right now, because it's like, oh, there's a guy standing in a circle.
Yeah, no, but if you're at all a Star Wars fan, it's definitely worth a view.
It's on Disney XD? Is that where this thing is?
Yep.
I have not seen it. I haven't seen it recently anyway. So let's see. I have seen
something. And it's about to end, by the way. The season finale, I think, is tonight. So it's on the 5th of March tonight.
Let me ask you something about something coming up. It's Solo, the movie, the Star Wars story. I have heard some weird things online about it. Have you been looking it up? What is your?
I haven't. I mean, I saw the one of the previews for it where people were talking about how the Millennium Falcon looked different or whatever, but I haven't seen much about it.
So you know that the original directors, they were the guys behind the Lego Movie, I want to say, and 21 Jump Street, and they got bounced off because Disney was not a big fan of them, or there was an issue with the top of Lucasfilm saying there's a tonal issue with this.
Yeah.
And the rumor was that what these guys like to do is they want some improv. And they're like, okay, let's do some improv. And everyone's really great at this except the guy who plays Solo. So, let's get a more traditional director in here that can have the story work. So they bring in Ron Howard. And apparently,
who's definitely a more traditional director.
Apparently, that's not going so great either. The rumor is that the fellow playing Solo is not that great an improv guy, nor that great an actor. Which is
so
terrifying.
why was he chosen?
I don't
know. Especially when you're going from a role that was done by Harrison Ford, who's a great actor and makes so much of all these roles, you can't go and get somebody like that. But yet they got probably, in my opinion, the best casting for Lando ever.
Well, that's a perfect casting. It's a
I mean, that is absolutely nailed that. That's perfect.
I'm trying to pull up. What you guys don't know, I'm actually live producing this now. So I'm gonna when we switch shots, it's me doing the work here. So I'm going to show you some of the Solo trailer. Now, they've shown, I think, extended trailers recently. And are you like, are you getting excited for this or not? Because also,
no, not
oddly
really.
Enough,
I mean,
go ahead.
I'm indifferent to it, you know. But then again, you know, it might. I'm interested in the story and how it's going to apply, but I'm not, you know, overly, you know, excited and think it's going to be the best Star Wars movie ever. But it does have some, you know, good actors that I want to see, you know, what they do, so to speak.
Yeah, oddly enough, it seems like Disney's kind of low energy with the amount of promotion for this.
Yeah,
they seem
so
to,
far.
They went really hard. I want to say with Rogue One, there was no way around it. Like, I'd heard the name before even knowing it was a Star Wars movie. I was like, oh, it's just like a video game? What's Rogue One? But I couldn't stop from hearing it.
Yeah.
Solo seems a little bit less energetic. Now, it's still got 2 months to go before this thing comes out. Or at least
do you think that's because, you know, Rogue One, they were trying to sell that that was the first, you know, non-original trilogy, original, you know, movie that was kind of a side movie. And now that they have established this world, oh, it's just another Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Star Wars story, essentially. Non-Skywalker stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they were going with. That explained that this is different. Rogue One is different from everything else you've seen. It's not, you know, episode 6, 7 or 4.5 or any of that stuff, even though it's kind of like 3.5, if you want to put it somewhere.
Right.
Or like 3.8.
What I did like about Rogue One was because it was just a Star Wars story, they didn't have to, you know, adhere to a lot of the rules they've been using in the main movies and allowed it to be more of a different type of film than we're used to seeing.
That, and you had a lot more stakes involved. You know,
we're
going to spoil tiny bit, and I'm going to hit the spoiler bumper. We're going to spoil Rogue One. If you haven't seen it already, I don't know how you haven't.
Yeah.
And also, if you've seen episode 4, which
you
came out
know what happened
40 years ago or so, you know how this turns out. So if you somehow, for the past 40-something years, or the past 2 to 3 years, have missed out on episode 4 of Star Wars, where they actually reference events that happened in this movie, you had your warning.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's the most... That's a lot of warning.
It's a lot of warning.
They kill everybody.
Yeah, everybody dies.
And they could do that. They can get away with this idea of, like, we're going to create characters, you're going to like them, and we're going to kill every single one of them
right
at the end of the movie.
Because, I mean, in the original movie, they established that this was a suicide mission that these people went on. So you knew that was going to happen, but I don't know. It was good. They pulled it off.
You know what's going to happen right now?
What?
I'm going to thank our patrons.
Oh, thank you.
These guys have been helping us put the show together for a very long time. Thanks to Joe, Michelle, Paul, and Alan, who have been with us so long. They they get video credits because they pledge over at patreon.com/Iaz. And folks who don't pledge that much money, they actually get a thank you on our site, killingtime.tv. So there you go. If you want to back our show or say you like the show or whatever, you can put out the link, patreon.com/Iaz, and help us bring you this show and more shows, because there are still stretch goals that I would like to do. I'm excited because I got things planned. Like I said before, the patrons get some extra stuff. I think today I'll be able to put out an old classic channel flip web video, and it'll be hokey and silly, and watch the different hairstyles we had back then.
Yes.
The different facial hairs, or at least my configuration. I think you've pretty much stuck with the same look.
Yeah, none.
Just the shorter hair. Yeah. Anyway, enough of this. Let's talk about John Lithgow, because this is what we need to talk about. That's what we're here for, right?
Just Lithgow?
That's
that's a good subject. I mean, you know, there's not many people that can act like Lithgow. He can be a villain. He can be hilarious. He can be your dad. You know, he can be just about anything and completely convincing.
So I just recently got to see, on the 1st of March, I want to say, John Lithgow's Stories by the Heart. It's a one-man show. It's John Lithgow in a chair talking to you. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's what the show is. Now, it's been around for a while. I didn't realize this. He's been doing this for a very long time. I saw clips as old as 4 years ago for this when I was trying to find some B-roll. But as you're seeing this here, it's John Lithgow sitting down, telling you a story. And basically this whole, the whole plot of this, which is strange because like you don't really think of a plot when you think of what is a one-man show like. He's just telling you stories he heard as a kid. And he is showing us what he was thinking while listening to the stories. So he's acting out these stories by himself. And there's 2 hours of this. There's 1 hour. He does the setup. He tells you what the story is. And he starts acting it out. And it's quite good. And then the second one, it's crazy. Because he plays, I want to say, at least 5 to 6 different characters in the second story. So it starts going to a feverish pitch. His posture changes. His voice slightly changes. He's talking to himself by switching positions on stage. It really is quite fascinating to see how quickly he can switch back and forth from mood to mood, from character traits. It was relatively astonishing to see it because, like you're saying, he could be anybody in any given time. He could be super nice. He could be the guy from Harry and the Hendersons, or he could be the guy from Dexter. And you're like, who are you?
Yeah.
Actually, those guys are both pretty nice. I guess the Harry guy was a little bit more, the Harry and the Hendersons character was more high strung compared to the killer on Dexter. If you think about it, that's even weirder. But Lithgow, he starts off reading from a book, which you know he's memorized at this point because he's not really bothering with it. But this was a lot of fun if you get to see it. I think it just closed on Broadway. Do you have any interest in seeing a one-man show by John Lithgow?
Absolutely, I would. Now, my question is, let's say you... Is it always the same stories?
I believe so. I believe they're the same two stories. The first story, I don't know the names of the stories off the top of my head, making me a terrible, terrible reporter, but I'm telling you about the actual John Lithgow stories by heart, so that's the real key here. The first story is about a gossipy barbershop, actually a barber, with a person in a chair who is silent. So he just keeps telling you the story about somebody who once was a client of his as a barber. And this goes on for 45 minutes maybe. And you're seeing it here. Like, he's miming all of this. He's actually making some of the sounds as he's removing the hair on somebody's face. He's just like, shh, shh, shh. And he's in the middle of this. He's a very giggly character. He's really strange. And sometimes it comes off a little bit as unlikable because that's what the character is. But he really handles this well. Like I said, very odd giggly performance from him because that's what the character was in his head. Mm-hmm. But it's him just monologuing for 45 minutes, and that's what that story is, versus the second story where he plays at least 6 characters, and they're all interacting at a different time. It's really something to see. I've seen Broadway shows before. I've seen it with large casts and musicals and all this other stuff, and I've seen that stuff done really well. But I've never seen anything like this before. So if you get a chance to see John Lithgow Stories by Heart, I would recommend it. Would you have to watch it in 3D? Yes.
Unless you have an iPad. Because it's live,
I mean, you could cover one eye and ruin your depth perception, but that's one thing. Should you see it on the big screen? No. I mean, unless you're really nearby. You can just sit where you can. In the theater he performed in New York, I believe it was the American Airlines theater, and it was really small, so there was no bad seats, it seemed like. Anywhere you were, you could get a good shot of John Lithgow. I definitely recommend it if you get a chance to see it. The show just ended on Broadway, so maybe you'll get another chance when John Lithgow decides to do it again. I think that's going to wrap it up for us, though. You got anything else we should say to anybody?
All I can say is one-man show, that's got to be exhausting. Every night, go out and do that. That must be just a kill. I was just thinking about that. That just must destroy you after a while.
He seemed like he had all the energy in the world. He came out. He did a great job. He didn't make us wait too long to give him a standing ovation. Like, he runs out and everyone claps, and like, he doesn't even close the door on the set. He just runs right back out. So like, I guess he's like, I'm done. It's finished. It's now 10 o'clock. So he did a great job. Really big fan of John Lithgow, and Liz is a giant fan of John Lithgow. So she was thrilled to see him.
Good.
Actually, her idea. Good. So that's why I got to see that. So thanks, Liz, for letting.
Excellent.
Letting us along. So that does it for us. This is Killing Time. You can catch our show weekly, killingtime.tv or YouTube. Again, if you're on YouTube and you're like, I don't like the ads, go get the podcast because they don't have any ads on them, because you can download them and watch them when you want. That's the way the podcasts work. So we can get out of here. We'll see everybody next time.